Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Nita Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Giri Govara Jai Go,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
I want to greet all of you for this second part of our little seminar held here in the shade of the wish-fulfilling trees of Giriraj. The seminar is called Sri Krishna Lila Stava, a powerful process which combines meditation on Krishna's pastimes with offering of prayers and obeisances. Yesterday we touched on a few important subject matters. That is, we spoke about what is the purpose of this book. It is the purpose of offering 108 blissful obeisances and experiencing the bliss of Krishna consciousness. By the word namaha, namaha, we explained, means not my ego. Obeisances which usually have namaha or namaste or mean that we resign ourselves to Krishna. We give ourselves over to Radha and Krishna. A very interesting detail was given to me today by His Holiness Dhanuda Swami. You remember we had explained yesterday four types of obeisances which come from the respectful greeting abhivadana, where you have just offer yourself by touching the feet of someone and introducing yourself, sir, I'm such and such and I offer my respect. So that's the first type, and the obeisances then go more intense into Ashtanga Pranam, Panchanga Pranam, and finally they become a little lighter again, Kara Shira Samyoga, or raising one's hands to one's head. That's a type of acceptable obeisances. Now in the first category of respectful greetings, the devotee may do this, offer his hands like this. But this actually means is amputating his hands from his ego. These hands are no longer my hands. They are now your hands. Do with them what you want. This is a form of respect for greetings. When we go like this, it means we give away our hands into the use of another person. Use them now. They will remain attached to my body. It's not an amputation in the gross sense with a butcher's knife or an axe, but it is an divestation of using our body in our sense gratificatory projects. Take my hands, use them. This is an offering of respect. Beautiful, isn't it? So, by this process, we have said of offering vandana or prayers with obeisances, great bliss comes in the heart, and our miseries of material existence will end. Now, in this seminar, I will give you a little bit more deeper understandings of the process of offering obeisances, and we will hear a few more things. Then we will review a practice which we do each morning. I hear someone is singing all the time. And it's not, whoever sings, please listen. Or maybe it's a transcendental personality who sings somewhere. No, the singing has stopped now. So we will hear first a little bit more about this praying and offering obeisances, which is all together. See, offering obeisances must be done with the mind, the body, and the speech. We will hear a little bit more, then we will review a process which we do every morning and improve it. I will also request the learned editor of Krishna Kanamrita Bindu to give us a further elucidation on one question which will come up. And then I will enter with you again into the beautiful world of Sri Krishna Lila Stava, and we will enter again into a meditational piece on Krishna and go a little bit deeper with our additional knowledge in this process. So I'm requesting your full attention, and I see at this moment you are all well rested and you have used your pause very well. I'm very proud of you. Thank you so much. So let's start. One process of pure devotional service is Vandanam. The Hari Bhakti Kalpa Latika says, offering obeisances to Sri Hari with body, mind and speech by persons who are surrendered to his lotus feet is called Vandanam by the learned devotees. So Vandanam, which we often think is only praying, that is using only our mouth, is actually more than that. It is offering our mind and our body while doing this. And Rupa Goswami, in order to make sure that we all understand what is Vandanam or praying and how it is connected with obeisances, quotes from the Naradiya Purana an interesting verse which you might be interested in, has given rise to a sampradaya, a school of thought, which is called the Krishna Pranami Sampradaya. It's very famous in India, I hear, but because I'm not from India, I have not... Anyone of our Indian devotees have heard Krishna Pranami Sampradaya? It's a very interesting... Many followers... More maybe than our devotees in our temples. It's a sampradaya which bases its whole existence on this shloka, which is from the Naradiya Purana, and glorifies the process of prayer and offering obeisances. Here's the shloka for you in Sanskrit. Dandavannati yata naradiye Ekopi Krishnaya Krita Pranamo Dashashvamedha Vabhirtirna Tulya Dashashvamedhi Punayeti Janma Krishna Pranami Napuna Bhavaya. The purificatory rites. There's a lot of ceremonial things performed during 10 horse sacrifices cannot equal even one pranam offered to Krishna. A person who performs 10 horse sacrifices takes birth again, but the person offering pranams to Krishna does not take birth again. So one single obeisances to Krishna, one pranam, where you use your speech and prayers and your mind and meditation, is more worth than these huge Ashwamedha sacrifices, which each one sacrifice takes, in modern calculations, Hridayananda Maharaj calculated, it's the cheap ones are $1,250,000,000. The cheap ones. So, I don't know how he calculated this, but he may come from an ethnic background where such calculations are much easier to be done than for normal, for other people who do not calculate so quick. So those who do these complicated rites with tremendous expenditure of gold and jewels will not be able to stop the cycle of birth and death. They will get amazing results, like becoming a king in the next life and all. But those who offer their pranams to Krishna, only one single pranam to Krishna, and you don't have to take birth again. I hear now excited rustling in the dhotis and zaris. Can we do this now, please? We will do this in a moment. So, Hari Bhakti Kalpa Latika makes sure what is a proper pranam. It must engage body, mind, and speech. With their bodies, learned persons offer obeisances to the Lord who is situated in all objects and full of nectarian bliss. When you offer your obeisances, even to a person, you should know the Lord is present there in the form of the super soul. And it is this philosophical understanding which prompts the speaker of the Bhagavatam to encourage us to even pay obeisances to a pig. Krishna is present. With their minds, these learned persons offer obeisances to Krishna's lotus feet, which are constantly manifest in their hearts. Please follow this when you go to the deities or when you offer obeisances. Manifest about the soothing lotus feet of Lord Krishna, who is there in the heart. The heart of the normal conditioned soul is full of upadis, means designation, and therefore very hard. But Krishna's lotus feet are full of nectarian water. You know, there's this conchal which pours water. And when you meditate a little bit constantly or from time to time about Krishna's lotus feet being in your heart, you will see how these feet will bring the heart, melt the heart mud of your heart, that it becomes a little liquid and bhakti can enter. This is often said like this, that the water from Krishna's lotus feet, especially from his shankha, this conch shell, will come into your heart and make your heart soft. And now, if you are not a poetic person and quite simple, let's make it simple for you. Meditate about Krishna in your heart and your heart will become soft. This is what you do with your minds when you offer obeisances. And with your speech, one offers obeisances to the Lord who is situated in the heart of all living entities. I heard when you offer obeisances and you speak your prayers, it must be audible, it must be hearable, it must be heard. It should not be mumbled or grumbled or disappearing in the vocal cords or by bad pronunciation. It should be clearly audible. Yes. In Hari Bhakti Latika, the devotee who has written this beautiful work, he says, what need is there to perform the different yoga systems, which are so difficult to perfect, even if I have 100 births? What need is there to struggle to attain transcendental knowledge? I shall offer my respectful obeisances to Lord Krishna, for simply by offering obeisances to him, I will get free from the bonds of karma and attain the spiritual world. That's a simple process for simple Sachinandan. I'm also not able to do so many complicated yoga systems. I mean, when it comes to pranayama, I'm already out of sync. Knowledge, what can I do? I think still in analogies and pictures. Not so much in philosophy. But I also feel if you place your body down before Krishna and place your mind in your words, then karma will be cut and one attains the spiritual world. Now, the scriptures always tell us when it comes to offering obeisances that we do in the way it is prescribed. But when it comes to using your speech, there are two ways you can use your speech. One is with authorized and notable prayers. And the other is you can also compose your personal prayers and give whatever confidential feelings you have to Krishna. And I want to quote things describing these two types of using the speech while offering obeisances. In Nectar of Devotion, there is a verse is given. Devotees whose tongues are decorated always with prayers to Lord Krishna are always given respect even by the great saintly persons and sages. And such devotees are actually worshipable by the demigods. My dear devotees, if you pick up a good prayer book and then chant the prayers of Queen Kunti, it is really that Queen Kunti enters into your tongue, and by her words she is present, and that is how you become adorable to great rishis and even devatas. When you offer the powerful stavarajas, then the speakers of these king of prayers become manifest on your vocal cords. Dvijanayaka. You are no longer Dvijanayaka. The person from Bosnia with his good qualities and maybe improvable qualities, for that moment these great personalities like Satyavrata Muni is speaking through you and using your vocal cords. Isn't that wonderful? At that moment, a great shift can take place. And you actually, when you offer these authorized prayers and make yourself familiar with the meaning, some of the ecstasy of the speakers of the prayers comes into you by a very powerful spiritual law, which is called the law of association. No? In a simple analogy, if this dry cloth associates with the water of this cup, it will first just be a bubble because that it's so dry it doesn't enter. But after some time, can you see? It enters the cloth, and not even that alone, it spreads in the cloth. Can you see? It becomes bigger. Maybe not. Mm-mm. Yes, it becomes bigger, but maybe you cannot see from the distance. So when you allow that the words of the great souls enter your consciousness, at the very beginning, it's only on the outside. It doesn't yet influence you. But after some time, as you enter the prayer and enter the prayer with your mind, you will see how that knowledge which they spoke goes into your consciousness and spreads there. This process is so powerful that Prabhupada writes in the 8th canto that we should learn a certain prayer, and this prayer will stay with us even if we have to take birth again, and then we will automatically chant this prayer. It's so powerful. The penetrating word of notable prayers are absolutely powerful and transformative. Do you know the example which is in the 8th canto of a devotee who has taken a non-human birth but all of a sudden began to speak the prayers? Gajendra, yes. I saw in our Berlin temple a young boy where we always felt he was special. When I was not when no one was in the temple room, I heard someone playing kartals and singing a Vaishnav bhajan. And I just went to the, what is it called, the door hole and glanced through. There was this little boy sitting on the Vyasasan with a pair of kartals and singing this long Vaishnav prayer. And I felt, I asked the parents, do you teach your children these prayers? And they said, no, what did you see? And I told them, and then they said, well, we don't know from where he has it. It's possible. I'm saying it's possible. It may not be like this. He can be also haunted by a Vaishnava who was bound to Berlin by some mischief he did in a previous life. But it's possible that he was doing this prayer already in a previous life, and then now it came up to him. That's why you have to learn to bring your prayers and mantras into the deeper areas of your heart, so that you can chant them even when you are in the next life or when you are in this life in an embarrassing situation where you have lost your consciousness and whatever. So, power of prayers. Now, there is also a power of personal prayers. They can also be submitted. And I have a quotation which is just so nice, which I want to say to you. One has to submit to Krishna, this is what Prabhupada says, whatever distress or confidential problem he has, he should pray. Krishna, I'm suffering in this way. I have fallen in this tossing ocean of material illusion. Kindly pick me up. Please let us open our hearts a little bit to Krishna. Do you have sometimes a problem, my dear devotees? Our Matajis all laugh. Oh, if you would know, so many problems. We will all be embarrassed in this life. Don't worry. So you can say, Krishna.
Krishna.
The man can also say, let not only the soft-hearted Matajis join us. Krishna,
Krishna,
I'm suffering in this way. I have fallen
in this ocean of material illusion.
Kindly,
please,
pick me up.
Oh, Hare
Krishna. Jagatarini Mataji gave a very nice talk once on the Brajmanda Parikrama, where she said something which I have not been able to forget. The beginning of our Krishna Balaram temple, which you can now visit very conveniently, and you get Mahaprasad and deity garlands, was not easy. The early days, for the first devotees, the early days in India, were demanding and presenting themselves with many unexpected surprises and challenges. And, you know, building materials were stolen, scandals happened, the devotees were looked down upon for their inexpertise and whatever. The climate was undigestible in the winter and in the summer, especially when it's so cold and so hot. And then Prabhupada came and installed the deities of Krishna and Balaram. So it was the day after the installation of Krishna and Balaram where Prabhupada looked over the troubled faces of his devotees, which may have been emaciated due to diarrhea and less sleep. And he said, so, Krishna and Balaram are now here. That means whatever you have on your heart, you should go and tell them, oh, Krishna and Balaram, I have this problem. Please solve it. It's... I'm saying this, but I want to caution you, this is not the line of pure devotional service. In the line of pure devotional service, we should never, ever make Krishna our servant. In a few days, we will all go to Govindakund, and in Govindakund, there is a tree which you will see, where a great siddha said, a powerful devotee of Krishna, who had achieved perfection. So during this time, It was so that groceries, that means things you need to cook and to eat, were coming by the itinerant merchants once a week. So one day the pujari was just about to offer Shishi Radha Gopinath, these are deities which you will also be introduced to, hot puris every evening, came to the Siddha Mahatma, this great devotee who was chanting under a tree. I think it was Siddha Manohar Das Baba. This devotee, the pujari, came and said, I want to make I have to do my puris for Radha Gopinath, but we don't have ghee. So the devotee said, go to Govinda Kund, take water and boil your puris. What? How can I boil puris and water? You just do. So the pujari, having no other possibility, went and fetched the water. Because, you know, once you promise Krishna every day, I'm going to give you hot puris, you have to keep it. And the merchant would come after 5 days only. So he went without much belief, took water in his pot, started to put the pot on the flame and said, well, I mean, I'm just doing it because he told me. And rolled some puris and threw them in and expected that they would turn into a slimy mass. But no, they began to boil, pop up, and they were wonderful. They were, and he offered them to Radha Gopinath. 5 days he repeated this, because there was simply no means to get ghee in any other way. Then finally the merchant came and with ghee, and the pujari went to the Siddha Mahatma and asked, what should we do? How much ghee should I get? And the Mahatma said, you should get for the next week ghee, and you should get the same amount of ghee, which is the amount of water which you have taken from Govinda Kund. And you should take that ghee, the ghee of 5 days, and pour it into Govinda Kund. Give it back to Krishna. We don't want to take from Krishna. We want to offer to Krishna. That's our philosophy. So although Prabhupada has said we could offer our personal problems and say, please solve this, please this, this, please know that this is not really the pure, purest form of prayer and vandana. It's something on the way, maybe, to pure devotional service, where you acknowledge your human weaknesses and your need of help, but even for that, you know, it's Krishna. I personally have been trained by my exalted spiritual master again and again to never ask Krishna for material things. It's best if you don't, if you keep Radha and Krishna for something personal, ask them for pure love of Godhead and the possibility to save them. But as Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, when it's so intolerable sometimes, and you out of human things, you just say, ah, I have this problem, God, look at me. That is permissible. Just like a little child will always go ultimately to the parents, whatever happens to him. And just turn to the parents. Ultimately, when nothing helps, we can turn to Radha and Krishna with that mood of helplessness and knowing it's really not what should be done. What to do? Burijan Prabhu always says, what to do? What to do? What to do? What to do? I'm personally not so. I'm going through a difficult astrological period, and what I do according to my astrologer, I chant a mantra to Nrisimhadev, which frees from karmic debts. I don't turn directly to Krishna. I do that because Nrisimhadev is willing to do that for his devotees. So, but this is a little bit on personal prayers. My recommendation of personal prayers is go to the Lord like a child. Bear your heart. Oh, you look so wonderful today. Your eyes are so wonderful. It is described in the scriptures so nicely. And glorify the Lord in your way. Don't come just only as a needy person. Needy people are, at the long run, boring people. Come and offer something. If always you come, oh, I need this, I need this, I need this. Just offer some glorification. Pray for pure devotional service. Now, often devotees in whom I have spoken about have a doubt that if I turn to Krishna, can I do this? Will Krishna respond to me? Will something come from the transcendental direction? And they will say, love is a two-way road, where I give something but receive also something. Will Krishna reveal himself if I turn to him with obeisances and prayer? And I feel this is an important doubt, an important question, which I would certainly not feel comfortable to answer on my own strengths. It's a difficult question. It's a doubt which we all have. What if I turn to Krishna and he just doesn't respond? One of my friends always says that he feels that the greatest problem we have is we feel abandoned by Krishna. Abandoned means like a child, you know, given away. Oh, I had this child, but it was really an accident. I mean, it's really, he took me by surprise. And I really didn't intend it. And abortion was not an issue. So then I give the child and put it before the monastery. This is how many European monks, they are abandoned children. They never saw their mother and their father. And we often in this world, even we monks and Vaishnavis, we feel like abandoned children. We never saw Radha and Krishna. We are now here in this world. Are they really caring for us? Is it really true? Do they hear my prayer and answer my prayer? It's a great question. And I remember when I was in my before Krishna consciousness, there was one band whom I thought were expressing the minds of us people, and they said, "You cannot petition the Lord with prayer; He doesn't hear you." But once Prabhupada was confronted with this Western feeling of feeling abundant, and he said, "For fools, it's natural to think that one cannot talk with God." But God says, "Tyaktva dehang puna janma naiti mang." After giving up this body, the devotee comes to me. Then what will you do there? He'll talk to you or not talk? The devotee says, There he'll talk. Prabhupada, yes, then there's a process how to talk with God. But these rascals do not know it. They think it is all imagination. Devotee. But Prabhupada, we are so insignificant. Why should God waste his time talking with us? Prabhupada. Yes. But you are sons. Although you are insignificant, you are God's sons. So he likes to talk with his sons. Just like a small child. Everyone knows that he cannot talk. Still, his father tries to make him talk, to enjoy. Then Prabhupada speaks about his mission. He says, Mayapur Chandradaya Temple is teaching all these fools and rascals how to talk with God. That is our mission. Please abandon this thought that Krishna cannot talk to you or will not talk to you. Prabhupada's mission is that yes, you should turn to Krishna. Learn to turn to Krishna with the authorized prayers of great devotees, but also with your own personal words. And then you will soon see how Krishna talks to you. I would like to tell you a little personal prayer which has been very effective in my own life, so I feel very confident to share it with you. I'm sometimes overcome with uncertitude, how to walk in my life. Should I go, should I do this? Should I do that option? There's so many opportunities for service. And I have learned to ask Krishna, please, my Lord, there's so many opportunities for service, but please show me my next steps. And I have seen how my life has become directed by consistently with body, mind, and speech, praying this prayer, and so on. Good. Having said so much, so that you feel confident with what comes now, I would like to review with you one prayer, and then invite all of you to do an obeisances. Every morning we pay obeisances to the devotees by using the mantra Vanchakal Paturu Baisha Kripa Sindhu Baivacha Patita Nam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha. And while we do this, we bow down to the devotees, we touch our forehead to the ground, we use our words, and when it's very early in the morning and our mind is still not oiled, we may be dull and don't think anything, but most of the time we think something. We think something in glorification of the devotees. There is one prayer, Sri Vaishnav Sharana, by one Devaki Nandan Das, which is used by many Vaishnavas so that they can become free from offenses against Vaishnavas. This Devakinandan Prabhu was once a sinner called Gopal Chakravarti, who had severely offended Srivas Thakur by placing these tantric sexual items before his door, indicating that the Shivas and his people in the night, they drink wine, they eat meat, they have sex with women, and they scream during this process. So this is how he wanted to put a bad name on Srivas Thakur. Srivas Thakur went out in the morning, saw these articles. In our Western culture, it would be like a condom before the door, you know, and had called all the people, respectable people of Nadia together and said, see, I'm doing dirty things in the night. And they said, no, who did this? Who wanted to offend you? Let's get a street sweeper to so that we don't even need to touch or see these items and get them out of the way. It was Gopal Chakravarti, an envious brahmana, who did this. As a result to his offense, he contracted leprosy, and like it was done in the society at that time, he was not accepted any longer in the village, because leprosy is highly, there are infective types of leprosy. So he was given what is called in medieval Europe the leper colony. But since there was only one case of leprosy, he didn't have even association like in a colony. He was sitting alone by the side of the Ganga. So once Mahaprabhu passed by and Gopal Chakravarti said, I did this against you devotees and I suffer with leprosy. Can you forgive me? Gauranga Mahaprabhu said, not after 1,000 births I will forgive you, or 1,000,000 births. Then another time Gauranga came and Gopal Chakravarti was wasting away, was rotting away with this horrible disease. And again he asked for forgiveness and Gauranga said, go to Srivast Thakur and asked him for forgiveness. So he went to Srivast Thakur and asked him for forgiveness and asked to be accepted as his disciple. But Srivast Thakur decided that another Vaishnava should give him initiation. Srivast Thakur forgave him. And this devotee later, who had just was accepted and initiated as Devaki Nandan Prabhu, and he wrote in mature realization a prayer in glorification of the Vaishnavas. He's definitely the best person to talk about glorifying Vaishnavas and giving up Vaishnava apparats. So he wrote this prayer, and I want to ask Madhavananda to please come here and to the, or can you free this microphone from its hold? And Madhavananda, maybe you can sit there and talk your story for the video recorders and the world. So this prayer is prayed as a means to help us become purified from Vaishnav apparat and to help us also to prevent Vaishnav apparats in the future. I think whoever wants to follow this vow of at least for 1 month I will not do Vaishnav apparat, let him chant this prayer and then he may be able to actually keep his vow. Prayer is Brindavan Vasi Jati Vaishnavara Gana Pratame Vandana Kori Sabara Charan. He starts offering his obeisances to the lotus feet of the residents of Vrindavan. He says, first of all, I offer my worship to the lotus feet of the residents of Vrindavan, all of whom are Vaishnavas. And I want to really focus your attention on this verse, because now we are in Vrindavan and we are surrounded by Brijbasis, and we can either glorify them or we could make offenses to them and have a very difficult life as a result of it. So sometimes for us Westerners it's difficult. How are these Brijbasis worshipable? Look at our Brijbasi Chokida and his lotus feet and his intense glance from Jatipur. Hare Krishna, Radhe Shyam. Radhe Radhe. He is worshipable. Why is he worshipable? Sometimes we asked, well, they act so, so what to do? why? And I will request our Madhavananda to relate to us, to give us a possible answer which makes it easier for us to see them as special.
In his song, glorifying Vrindavan Dham, the poet Krishnadas has described Jaya Jaya Vrindavana Bhasi Jata Jam. All glories to all the residents of Vrindavan. And there's a story in one devotional literature in Orissa. The book is called Dharitya Bhakti. It's a book that talks about Lord Jagannath and some of Jagannath's devotees and Vrindavan sometimes. And there's a story there about one devotee whose name was Sugyani Acharya. And Sugyani Acharya, he once came to Vrindavan. He was a great devotee of Krishna and he wanted to see Braj. And he came here and he was hungry. So he approached some Vrijvasis and did madhukaris. If you please give me something to eat. And the Vrijvasi that he approached happened to be having his lunch. And when he was speaking to him, he, I should give you some. So he reached inside of his mouth and he pulled out some of the roti, the chapati that he was eating. And he gave that to this very pakka Sugyani Acharya. The people in Orissa, they're very diligent about following all the rules and regulations. So this Sugyani Acharya, he was very horrified. What are you doing? You're giving this to me? Don't you know who I am? Huh? I'm a Vaishnava, I'm a sadhu. And he wasn't just saying it out of pride, but he was saying it, honestly, this is not an appropriate thing to do. How you can give me some of your own remnants? So this book, Daritya Bhakti, describes that at that moment, Sri Krishna suddenly appeared there. And Krishna told him, hey, dhiri, Baba, calm down. It's okay. He said that you should know the glories of the Vrijvasis. There's nothing wrong in taking this roti. So that's the short little story.
Thank you. Krishna himself has very often glorified the devotees in Braj, and so have the great Vaishnav poets. And I have seen in my visits here that good devotees will always offer their obeisances to them. I remember when Radhanath Maharaj came and visited us in Vasana, he really paid obeisances to all, even the cows, because it is known that anyone who walks here, he may be even disguised with a disguise of a difficult nature, which comes to us, is very special. One of my god brothers had not known this. He had once. And he told me this personally. He had arrived in his rickshaw at the Krishna Balaram temple and he was just going to pay the fare which was agreed upon. But the rickshaw driver, like it happens, asked for double the price. So he got out of the rickshaw, looked in the eyes of the rickshawala, who was smiling, asking double the price, and he got so agitated that he took his fist and punched the rickshaw driver in his face. The rickshaw driver fell down to the ground. The punch had drawn blood. He got up. He looked at the godbrother of mine, who by now was shocked by the anger which had taken possession of him. The godbrother said, I'm very sorry, I was not in control of my mind. Here, take even double than what you wanted. But the rickshaw driver didn't accept it. He whisked the money from the seat, took the rickshaw and went away. And for 14 years, this godbrother fell away from the path of devotional service. He led a life where he not only glanced at sins, but the sins came further to him, closer to him than a glance. He engaged in them, and he led a very miserable life. And only after 14 years, he slowly, by having a change of mind, could come back to the path of devotional service. So we are walking in the land of jewels as blind, with blind eyes. But the people who are here, they are also not recognizable by us, just like we can't recognize the jewels which are surrounding us. So let's be careful. The next verses are offering obeisances to Mahaprabhu's associates in Neelachal, that is Jagannath Puri, then in Navadvip, and then the circle is becoming greater all over Godadesh, Bengal. But the next, then he, Devakinandan, gets into it. Ye deshe, baisha gorangera gan, udva bahu kori bondon sabara charan. With upraised arms, I worship the lotus feet of Gauranga Mahaprabhu's dear devotees, wherever they may reside, in the past or where they will be in the future. And then he gives a reason why he offers Vansha Kalpata Rupa Vasha. He says, in the Vedas and Puranas, it is said that each of the dear devotees of Sriman Mahaprabhu, past, present and future, everywhere, has the potency to deliver the entire universe. Why is this so? Well, the Lord can act through his devotees. The Lord can take the hands of the devotee who offers him pranams and then work with these hands in this world. The devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are deliverers of the most degraded persons. Being greedy for that deliverance, this sinner surrenders unto them. Yeah? Please.
This is such a nice prayer. We have one scholar, devotee friend in Orissa. He told us another meaning. He said that means all the devotees in the past and all the devotees in the future. But according to the grammar, it can have another meaning. Another meaning is that I offer obeisances to all those persons who used to be devotees.
Oh.
Who were practicing for 6 months and lived in the temple and then they left and started, became a Christian again or whatever. I offer obeisances to all of them. And Hoi Bena, I offer obeisances to all the people who are not devotees yet. They're living here in Delhi or in America someplace, but they'll become devotees in the future. I offer obeisances to them.
Thank you. And then he says, what power or ability do I have to glorify the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Being engrossed in ignorance, it is only out of pride that I attempt to do so. The great wealth, this is the last verse, of prema is so very rare in this world, but by somehow obtaining it, all desires are fulfilled and one achieves freedom from the clutches of Yamaraj. So, you can get prema only from devotees. By somehow obtaining it, all desires are fulfilled and you get free from the clutches of Yamaraj. It's a prayer called Sri Vaishnava Sharan, which is available in here from Krishna Kathamrita magazine, issue 6. This is. You can contact Madhavananda. It's a prayer which maybe is also available somewhere else. I have it here in this songbook, and there are other songs. I've seen many songbooks carry this prayer by now. It's a very nice prayer which makes the mind chaste and gives us some background for our daily practice of offering obeisances to devotees. So I would now like that you try to offer an obeisances to the devotees. I know that it is difficult to do something like this, in this magnitude, on commando. So I will do it as a little exercise. I will request you to think between these two sounds. When I give this signal, the exercise starts. When I give this signal, it stops. And I will request you to think of one devotee where you feel you wish to offer your obeisances to. He can be present or not present. And then I want you to offer your obeisances, and this time you will use body, speech, and more than anything, your mind. I will request you to envision that devotee, his smile, his manners, how he reacts when you offer him obeisances, and then do that, and do it as a meditative practice. You will need this experience, because after we have done this experience, we will offer, we will enter Krishna's pastime through the door of Krishna Lila Stava. And I feel always Krishna is very pleased when we offer our obeisances and prayers to his devotees. You can do that, for instance, to your spiritual master, if you have a good relationship to your spiritual master, that you like to offer him obeisances. Nice. Sometimes our minds are disturbed on small issues, and it doesn't flow from our hearts so easily. Offer your obeisances even to a devotee of the past. If you want to offer your obeisances to a devotee like Raghunath Das Goswami, something which is done. When we read this very nice Japa notebook, Japa diary, which has been compiled and written by Danoda Swami. Is it called Japa diary or notebook? Japa meditations. Maharaj talks about one devotee who is in the practice of offering obeisances and prayers to all the devotees, to devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he feels his chanting goes on very nice. There is a little work by Narahari Das Thakur, it's called Namamrita, where you can find, it's available in on the market in Vrindavan, where you can find how devotees, how the author offers obeisances to Haridas Thakur, to Rupa Goswami, to this devotee and that devotee, and asks him for a special blessing. That is a good Vaishnav work. Devakinandan Prabhu, with his Vaishnav Sharan poem, doesn't stand alone in the firmament of Vaishnava luminaries in offering obeisances to all the devotees of Mahaprabhu. No, it's their books which give certain prayers, because the door to the kingdom of God can open if a devotee opens it for you. So I would now like to do a little centering exercise. Don't worry, it won't be too yogic like I do in the West. Sit properly. Breathe in very deep into your belly area. And gradually make your whole body a breathing instrument, including also the lungs. Now, slowly calm down your breathing and let it come naturally. And think a little bit about one devotee to whom you want to offer your obeisances to. Since we use the mantra Vansha Kalpa Tarubha Sha, well, you can also do your guru mantras if you wish. So, think about the devotee. Think about his face. And think about times in your life where you have approached him and offered him your obeisances. How was that? How How did he look? Take a little time. Don't despair if nothing comes at in the beginning. Then you might direct your thought to a Vaishnava of the past, to a Vaishnava of the present. And when I give you the sign, not now, you can offer your obeisances. First, I will now tell you how you should offer your obeisances. Use your body. Use your mind. Bring the mind there. It's most important. And use your speech by reciting either the Vanshat Kalpata Rubas mantra, or if you have singled out another devotee who has his own specific mantra, then use that mantra when you hear the bell ringing. Thank you very much. We will now try to enter the Krishna Lila Stava, and we will enter it through obeisances number 59. Yesterday we have done the obeisances number 58, and now we will do the next obeisances. This time it will become more clearer, and I believe this time you will learn the tools which you need to read the to practice the book on your own. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hey Krishna, Karuna Sindhu, Dina Bandhu, Jagatpate, Gopesha, Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta, Namostute. Saptahaika padastayin vraja chutrit nuikshana jaya bhaknendra sankalpa mahavasha nivarana. Krishna, you stood in one place for an entire week, and with your glance you dispelled the hunger and thirst of the Brajavasis. Victory to you who thwarted Indra's plan and stopped the mighty rainfall. So as you read this verse, you might make yourself familiar with the text from the Bhagavatam, and you might see the picture where Krishna stands under the Govardhan Lila, Govardhan mountain, holding up the mountain and forgets all about his hunger and thirst. This is rare because he even steals a butter. Krishna did so because he saw the forms of his beloved gopis, which looked so attractive. Now, also the Brajavasis saw him with joyful and amazed eyes. It's described that they were so amazed to see Krishna that their eyes widened. The reason why their eyes widened is because they took on in the form of the Lord like a thirsty man takes in Amrita. and drinks and drinks and drinks. And as the eyes are the containers of Krishna's form, they widened and became big, like a stomach, which becomes big when you drink a lot of water and amrita. So, with lots of love and affection, these Brijbasis looked at Krishna, Krishna looked at them. There was so much love flowing between them. So that Krishna faced everyone singularly. There was this Brijbasi and Krishna looked only at him. The other Brijbasi saw Krishna looking only at him. All the Brijbasis who were assembled under the mountain saw only Krishna, and Krishna apparently saw only them. This was such a festival of the eyes, a Netrotsava, that the eyes were filled and everything else were filled, and no one had even one desire to eat. No one thought of eating. Only Mother Yashoda thought once that, oh, Krishna, you must be hungry, and I have cooked this best of preparations. Krishna is now a big boy, and he doesn't always want to be mothered, and he's like, Mother, I'm not so hungry. But she fed him this preparation which she had cooked with love and devotion. But otherwise, there was a little exception. No one took anything for 7 days. They felt totally free from hunger and thirst because Krishna had entered their eyes and their lives. So this is rare, that the Brijbasis could see Krishna for 7 days without interruption, because normally, you know, each morning Krishna leaves the village of Vrindavan to return only in the evening again. Each morning there are all the animals of Vrindavan's forest waiting at the village gate. When will Krishna come out? And when will we have not seen him the whole so long now, and then they will go with Krishna in the forest, and the Brijbasis will be sent. They will also want to go with Krishna in the forest. But Krishna tells them, no, you have to cook for me. Go back in your village. So, yes, victory to you, O Krishna, who thwarted Indra's plan and stopped the mighty rainfall. When you put the hill back, this is the last in this series, when you put the hill back in its right place, the gopis worshipped you with yogurt and parched rice, and the demigods poured upon you a shower of flowers. You struck fear into Indra. So, in this meditation, Sanatana Goswami says how the devotees actually worshipped Krishna, with some with yogurt, but there were others who worshipped him in different ways. There were Krishna's superiors who offered him benedictions. Some came to him and lovingly smelled his head, and others kissed him and massaged his left arm. And those who felt very free with Krishna cracked his fingers. You know, like this. Yeah. Like, this is a very free activity they did. I remember when I was allowed to massage Srila Prabhupada, he said, crack my fingers. And I said, no, Prabhupada, it's not healthy for your fingers. My mother told me. Prabhupada said, who told you? I said, my mother. No, it's all right. It's good. It's the vata goes away, Prabhupada said. But I was brainwashed by my mother, so I couldn't do it. I said, Prabhupada, I can't do it. My mother has told me, and she knows. And I wouldn't do it because I didn't want to hurt Srila Prabhupada. And he accepted my realization. He said, all right, no need. Some other Brijbasis went to Krishna and said, "Are you tired, Krishna, from lifting this mountain, or are you pained?" And the younger Brijbasis, according to their relationship, the boys fell down before Krishna's lotus feet and began to massage his lotus feet. They felt, "You have carried extra weight with your feet, so now the feet must be tired. Let's massage them." So this is how obeisances 59 of goes. I would love to do the following with you if you are agreeable, just so that you learn it. I know it's a little bit strange to learn it, but we want to learn something new. So I will just give you the meditations. Then I will give you a sign that you should offer your obeisances, and then I will chant a mantra, which you can please chant after me while you will offer your obeisances to Giriraj. Okay? So now, sit. And please listen very attentively. Oh, Krishna. No, just listen. You stood in one place for an entire week. And with your glance, you dispelled the hunger and thirst of the Brajavasis. Victory to you, who thwarted Indra's plan and stopped the mighty rainfall. After you had lifted Govardhan, you put the hill back in its right place. Then the gopis stepped forward and worshipped you with yogurt and parched rice. And the demigods poured upon you a shower of flowers. You struck fear into the heart of Indra. Please offer now your obeisances in the direction of Giriraj. And repeat. Namaste Girirajaya. Shri Govardhana Namine. Ashesha Klesha Nashaya. Paramananda Daine. Shri Krishna ki jai. Shri Giriraj Maharaj ki. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. When you are ready, please come and sit. So this is a little bit, at least what comes, how I can teach you the Krishna Lila Stava. We have isolated a little bit the elements, meditation or becoming aware of Krishna's pastimes, offering our obeisances and speaking to Krishna. And when you learn this with this book a little bit more, and we will have tomorrow ample and the other days more meditations, very nice meditations, then you will end your cycle of birth and death by developing love of God. That's good, isn't it? I want to see now what is the time on the wristwatch. 2:00. Now, that is good. Then we will end in 5 minutes. There's one item about the Govardhan Leela which is very important for you to know. Actually, this Leela has two dimensions. One dimension is for the devotees, and one dimension is for the non-devotees. I think sometimes we feel like non-devotees, so I think the two dimensions are relevant for us. The dimension where Krishna preaches to the devotees is, devotees, please fix your mind on me alone. What he teaches the non-devotees is he destroys their pride. Once there was a king who asked his minister, what is God's daily work? The minister said, I think God's work is he created the world. Yes, that is what he did in the past. What does he do daily? Like I'm doing daily some work, you're doing daily some work. The minister knew, if I give a wrong answer now, he will throw me out, so I better evade this question. And he said, my dear king, for these theological questions we have the pandas. Let's ask them. So they got the supreme panda, and when the panda heard the question, he said, your majesty, this is a very unusual question. I must search all my books for an answer. Give me 1 week time. So the panda went, God's daily work. Let's look in the Upanishads. Maybe there's an answer. But he didn't find one. So after 1 week, he said, I better don't face the king. I leave this country in disgrace, but at least with my head on the shoulders. Let's look for work somewhere else. I can't give the answer. Now, when he was on his way out, he met a shepherd who was his disciple. And the shepherd asked him, where are you going, Guru Maharaj? I'm fleeing this country because I can't answer the question of the king, who is always so arrogant and punishes people whom he dislikes. What is his question? Asked the shepherd. Well, he wanted to know what's God's daily work. It's nowhere stated. I don't know. The shepherd said, it is a very simple answer. I have an idea. Let me answer instead of you. The pandit said, nothing to lose, all to gain, but I will already carefully go in the next kingdom, send a message if you were successful in answering the question. So the shepherd came to the king and said, this answer is too simple for my Guru Maharaj. He has sent me. I will give you the answer, what's God's daily work? The king said, You better make sure it's a good answer. Yes, said the shepherd. So, do you want to know? Yes, I want to know, said the king. Well, said the shepherd, not like this. I am a person you approach for knowledge, so I'm a guru, and you are my disciple. You can't sit higher than the guru. Let me sit on your throne, and you sit here. Said the king, you better make sure your answer is correct. So they switched places. The king was sitting there. The shepherd sat there. The shepherd said, my dear king, your question is already answered. God's daily work is to make the proud people come down from their so-called high position and let the humble raise. And then he quoted one pastime. He quoted the Govardhan Leela and he quoted Lord Krishna himself. You know, when Indra had seen his mistake and had seen how Krishna lifted the Govardhan mountain so effortlessly and thwarted the rains, he had to come afterwards to Krishna at Govindakund, and he laid down his crown, which blazed like the sun, indicating, I'm not the king, I'm a humble servant. So Krishna didn't want to humiliate him further, and he said, and provided a solitary meeting place at Govindakund. And then he said to him something very important for all of his for all of us who are sometimes going maybe the wrong direction. He said, Krishna said, a man blinded by intoxication with his own power and opulence cannot see me nearby standing with the rod of punishment in my heart. If I desire the real welfare of my people or of a person who has become proud, I drag him down from his materially fortunate position. Indra had seen that Krishna had dragged him down from his position. He was lying in the dust of Braj, his crown was somewhere else. And then he answered the Lord's mercy. O Lord, he said, Tvaye shanu grihitosmi, tvashta stambo vitit yamaha. O Lord, you have shown mercy to me by shattering my false pride and defeating my attempts. Then he said, ended by saying such a wonderful prayer, which I want to say with all of you. See, the Lord often sees when his devotees go a little bit off the path, and he comes and shatters their pride. This is his special favor, as Indra said. Because if he would march on 1,000 births in false pride, where would we reach? Not the kingdom of love. You can march on for millions of lifetimes in pride. You will never reach bhakti. So Krishna, knowing that you march the wrong direction, will come, if he loves you, and shatter your pride. All of a sudden, you are no longer Mr. Famous Lecturer. All of a sudden, there's a scandal around you. All of a sudden, you can levitate with embarrassing forms of pain. All of a sudden, you can say the most outrageous and foolish thing, and you wondered, how did this ever pass the chokida of my intelligence, what I have just said. It happened because Krishna wanted to bring you to a new position where you can develop bhakti. So, therefore, Indra said, Namastubhyam Bhagavate Purushaya Mahatmane Vasudevaya Krishnaya Satvatam Pataye Namaha. Obeisances unto you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Great Soul, who are all-pervading and who resides in the hearts of all. My obeisances unto you, Krishna, the chief of the Sattvatas, the Yadu dynasties. Yes, and then this is glorification of Lord Krishna. My dear devotees, the Govardhan Leela shows how the king of the universe became momentarily, who is also a great devotee. Indra is not an incompetent person. He is also a great devotee. He became momentarily proud. And Krishna decided to humble him by saying, see, what was worshipped, what was given to you, I'm given now to a rock. The rock is better than you. And then Indra attacked Krishna, and Krishna said, see what I do with your attack. I take just my little finger, effortlessly carry a mountain as an umbrella for my people. You can't do anything. You're an insect, Indra. Then when Indra's pride was shattered by the all-merciful Lord in such a playful way, Indra came back to his senses and offered obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, calling him Purushaya Mahatmane, Vasudevaya Krishnaya, Sadvatam Pataye Namaha. This comes from the Bhagavatam. So, in this wonderful Govardhan retreat, or next to Govardhan, I have personally seen two things which Giriraj did, which or Lord Krishna did through his dear devotee Giriraj. One is, one has become more attracted to the holy land of Vrindavan by staying here in the shelter. And the second is, I have often seen how more and more humility is coming in my heart. I know that when I give lectures, I don't talk like a humble soul, because I somehow wish to make an impact in your mind. But I really have seen in my life that by sweet arrangements which happened after staying here at Giriraj, so many things came clearer in my life, and I began to understand that I'm only a small, insignificant soul, totally dependent on Krishna's arrangements and guidance. And this is what you can get also from this meditation of Giriraj, at Giriraj's lotus feet. He wants our exclusive devotion, Krishna. This is one lesson which we learn in the Leela. And he wants to take our pride away from us. That's another lesson. So as you enter this pastimes, which is only given in Krishna Leela Stava in codexes, in just brief sentences, you can remember all these wonderful points and let them come to your awareness and your mind, and then offer, as you read it, let all this come. Let a world unfold through the pages of Krishna Leela Stava. Let a world stand up before your curious gaze and speak to you in instructive words, and then offer your humble obeisances to this world, the world of where everything can teach you a lesson. And as you let this world appear and enter this world through this guided meditational book or prayer book and pranam book, you will see that you enter, that you leave the world behind and enter the new world. It's a very good book, but it's a book of practice, not a book of theory. It's even a difficult book because the author just makes small codexes. You know, he says a short sentence: Krishna, you looked at everyone and they all forgot hunger and thirst. So you have to find out, how does this work? How does the glance of Krishna go? And how does it meet the heart of the devotees? How does Krishna travel through his love-laden glance into the heart of his devotees? You have to become curious in how Krishna can dispel your hunger and thirst. Huh? And then you meditate about these things, and you really are in a world of wonders and miracles and Krishna. So we have come through our end of the time. What is the time? You're really on time today. I thank you all very much. I think you all know the rest of the program. Now we will take prasadam. Then you will have a pause, and there will be an inspirational reading around 4 or 4:30 here. No? There will be inspiration. You will be on your own. Please use this time, of course, to refresh yourself and to sleep and to wash your clothes and do all the many little things to maintain your physical existence, but also use it for chanting and being alone with Giriraj. And then in the evening time, there will be kirtan again and the Vidakta Madhava readings. Go Premanandi Hari Hari Bo Shri Giriraj Maharaj Ki, Shri Shri Radha Kanaya Lal Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Jai Sri Radhe.